Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, who apparently, by virtue of my gender, is supposed to be the competent one here. I have issues with this series.
Beep boop robot noises sound a clip that's heavily modified and not like a junkie on talking, but in a weird way. I'm David.
Yes, and so with the end of Rescue Bots and Robots in Disguise, we moved on to the next big Transformers animated series, in this case, Cyberverse.
Sadly, not BotBots yet.
Yes, starting another continuity.
Someday.
It's been a while. We were in the Prime Robots in Disguise and Rescue Bots oeuvre for years.
Yes, and, you know... Much like the Muppets, we're going to go back there someday. Specifically, once we finish this season of Cyberverse, we'll go to Rescue Bots Academy, which does still take place in that continuity.
It does, apparently, somehow.
There's four? Is it three or four seasons of Academy?
Like, four seasons. It went on for, like, well, as many episodes as regular Rescue Bots, but the episodes are half as long.
Oh, well, okay, well... Speaking of, so are these.
That's right. So,
it's strange.
This first aired in September 1st, 2018. So around 2018, you know, the Transformers franchise had like a huge decade of success. You had four movies that made $1 zillion. You had Transformers Animated, which was successful. You had,
your War for Cybertron games.
You had the War for Cybertron games. You had the IDW comics.
Which were really going pretty good at this point.
Yeah, you had Transformers Prime, which I think probably cost more money than Hasbro would have wanted.
Yeah.
But it was like a big flashy thing, and they had their own channel.
Oh yeah, the Hub came and went.
The Hub by this point was no longer, well, I think it was Discovery Kids or Discovery Family. So it was no longer like a Hasbro thing.
R.I.P. Dan Versus.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. those reruns of the 60s Batman show.
Oh, man. Hmm. Yeah.
And occasional broadcasts of G.I. Joe the movie.
Yes! As an aside, I am astonished at the degree of cult popularity Transformers the movie has gained for something that is almost never on TV, because that's the sort of thing that's usually reserved for things that are on TBS at 2 a.m. every morning.
None of that, also not on streaming anywhere.
No, like...
It's wild that it's not on streaming. Yeah.
Never.
Like, how is it not on Tubi?
You can't even do a digital rental for G.I. Joe the movie right now. I know, because I checked 2 days ago, because I had COVID and I was home a lot. And I said, you know what? I'm going to rewatch G.I. Joe the movie. And can't rent it. You got to buy it. It's $10. But you got to buy it.
It just feels crazy to me that you can't be high at 2 in the morning, want to watch Transformers the movie, and can't get it on Tubi. That's what Tubi's for.
Basically everything Monster Don does is on Tubi, almost.
Oh, okay. Well,
we watched Masters of the Universe, that was on Tubi. Everything's on Tubi. You know what's also not on Tubi that is available as a digital rental is Short Circuit 2. Again, because I had COVID and was very bored.
But there are multiple versions of Transformers the movie on YouTube.
Well, yes.
And it is...
Is it on Roku? Wait a minute.
It is at least available as a digital purchase, and the digital purchase is 4K. And I know, because as soon as I got a 4K TV, I did not yet have a 4K media player. I did own the 4K disc of Transformers the movie, and I got a 4K TV, but I didn't yet have a 4K media player, so I bought the 4K digital copy for, $10, so I could watch it in 4K, and then eventually got an Xbox Series X, so I could have that 4K. It's very pretty. It's so pretty. It looks so good.
Okay. I was just trying to look up, where you could even stream. You're right, you can't stream the original animated movie anywhere, but the live-action movies are on Paramount Plus, Pluto, or on YouTube and stuff, whatever. Except for Revenge of the Fallen, it's only streaming on Max.
Well, that's fine, because no one needs to watch Revenge of... No one should watch Revenge of the Fallen.
Probably the worst one, but it's weird that everything else... Paramount Plus, and then something else...
I will personally...
That one's just on Max, all
by
itself.
Choose to argue that Age of Extinction is worse, but that's... That is neither here nor there. Except
I don't
want to
rewatch any of them to prove it.
Because we are, of course, in that time frame of contemporary Transformers media as we talk about Cyberverse. Yeah, the movies were bad. I'm done pretending that the live-action movies were not terrible.
Well, in fact, this was coming out in the wake of The Last Knight, which... was the one that didn't make a lot
also
of...
Also was a front runner for one of the worst.
It's got some good Anthony Hopkins in there.
It's entertainingly bad.
I kind of felt like it was at least kind of trying in a way that the others weren't.
Yes.
Like, I felt like it was self-aware to a degree. Like, other thing, like, all the things that happened in The Last Knight that made me go, what the fuck was that? It was a good kind of what the fuck was that, where when Mark Wahlberg is putting his Chinese ATM card in a machine to get some cash out.
Is The Last Knight the one that was basically like, they had like a writer's room where they pitched ideas of what future movies, and
yes.
they just sort of smushed five or six of them together?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
On the other
hand...
That's
the one where Stanley Tucci is Merlin?
Yes. On the other hand, The Last Knight is the one that had a writer's room, which is more than you can say for the majority of them.
That's also got that weird Suicide Squad scene with the Decepticons, who then largely are inconsequential for the rest of the movie.
Because they die, like, two scenes later.
Yeah.
I do think it's legitimately funny that Hot Rod insists that he does not have a French accent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that one didn't make a whole lot of money, and this was coming out right around the same time that Bumblebee came out, and Bumblebee also did not make a ton, but it was well-received, and it didn't cost as much.
I also watched Bumblebee on my 4K media while I was six, so I had a little, like, robot buddy theme going, where I watched that, and then Short Circuit 2, and Chappie, which... bit of a mood whiplash from the other two.
Yeah.
But,
boy, I'm not sure who I'd rather spend less time with.
Fisher Stevens pretending to be Indian or
Diane Ward. However how it is you pronounce that. They're extremely annoying in that movie. And I assume everywhere else. Anyway.
But Bumblebee, I think this does... It definitely feel like it's coming from a similar creative well as the Bumblebee movie. It just, you know how you know the Bumblebee movie is better, though, is at this point it has been established that the best Transformers media references the Smiths.
Listen, this
I will stand by this.
This absolutely does not have the Smiths money.
Oh, no.
Because kind of what happened is, you know, the Transformers Prime was very expensive. Those live-action movies are very expensive. I think Robots in Disguise was pretty expensive.
Yeah, I mean, they had...
Probably?
So many, like, guest voices. Like, Frank Stallone was a recurring... a regular character, but a recurring character.
Well, is Frank Stallone that expensive?
I mean, you're not paying that much for Frank Stallone, but there are still, like... people who you can name in that.
Yes. There are, like, people you could bring up to people who don't know it. Like, Lori Petty. There was an episode with Lori Petty, and there was no heterosexual explanation for anything in that episode. Like, that's... I mean, no, these aren't, like, Chris Hemsworth, but it's people who are not, like... on the standard voice actor pay scale. They are on the actual actor pay scale.
Well, this also does not have people who are on the standard voice actor pay scale because they are non-union. So they decided, you know, why don't we just spend nothing on our cartoons?
Now, I will say, to their credit, I mean, just talking to people, like, okay, David, we were just at a Transformers convention. Yeah. How many people there were that familiar with Robots in Disguise? And this was people at a Transformers convention.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and we'll get in with the format of Cyberverse, the changes to the format, but I think really Hasbro fairly decided that they were not getting a proper return on investment for what they did with their previous shows. I think that they put a lot of money into making these great shows that were, they didn't, especially once the hub was no longer the hub, once they started relying on Nickelodeon for time slots. I mean, and before that, Cartoon Network.
Notoriously weird.
Cartoon Network bothering to show anything that wasn't Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I think Robots in Disguise had the coveted, like, 4 a.m. time slot.
Yeah, so I think that Hasbro probably felt, like I said, that they weren't getting enough out of these cartoons, not enough people were watching them for them to be spending that kind of money on producing them.
And so we've got non-union voice actors, we've got an animation studio in Ireland, apparently.
Sure.
Okay.
This is Boulder Media, who Hasbro now owns, or rather, yes. Yes, Hasbro did own, then they folded them in with Entertainment One, then they were bought by somebody else.
Great. Okay.
So they do not own Boulder Media anymore, but they did. Yeah, Irish Animation Studio. Who knew? And you can definitely tell the animation is kind of cheaper.
It's more... I will say it's more dynamic, but, like, this entire first episode that we're about to discuss looks like it takes place in a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah, the character models are simplified, but decent. There's some good posing of action stuff, but the fights themselves are... the backgrounds, yes, are really, really simple.
Yeah, the models are cheap. I mean, as we have been discussing since we started this podcast with Beast Wars, it's a lot cheaper and easier to do dynamic directing with CG than with cell animation.
Yeah. So, I would disagree with that. It's simpler to set up.
Just as far as, like, moving the camera around and that sort of thing. Because it's like a set, whereas you're not having to draw all of those angle changes. Like, drawing
there's
a big
more
panning...
work in drawing and animated, but you can do more ridiculous, crazy stuff by just drawing it that way.
But the... I do think that the directing of this does feel a lot more energetic and dynamic, and I don't know that I necessarily mean that as a compliment or not. It's just different.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the same as how it's cut down to 10-minute episodes, is because they're trying to grab that, you know, 6-year-old attention span.
And I think this was the first show to be simultaneously uploaded to YouTube.
Yes.
Which I think helped its visibility.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was available on YouTube. I think probably most people watched it there because, again, Nickelodeon just sort of stuck it in some random time slot.
I think this was still Cartoon Network.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I didn't even bother trying to catch it on broadcast because it was just right there on YouTube.
Yeah, I admit this is the first Transformers show in a long time that I did not finish. So I don't know where we're going with this one.
I only finished it because of COVID, but not because of me specifically getting it, but just because of my work situation left me with time where I could just watch things on YouTube like that. which I don't usually do because I hate YouTube, but it gave me an opportunity to catch up on this. So yeah, I watched most of it at work.
Yeah. Tax dollars at work.
Yes. Look, I'm making sure nothing breaks. The important thing is that I'm there in case it does, not that I'm being constantly in motion. Mm-hmm. It's not Starbucks.
So, yeah. So this episode is indeed Fractured, written by Randolph Hurd, who also wrote a...
No.
Sorry?
No.
Randolph Hurd a what? A who?
No. I reject this.
Also wrote for a bunch of, that CG Ninja Turtles cartoon that was on around the same time.
Well, okay. That doesn't narrow it down. There's a couple CG ones now at this point.
No, there's only been one. Well, the
2014
the first
one.
CG animated one.
Yes.
Yeah. The one that had, what's his name? Sean Astin in it.
Mostly just what I know about that one is that they actually had Stan Sakai write the Usagi Yojimbo episodes.
Ooh, I was going to say it was one with Rob Paulsen in it, but that's now a couple of them.
Yeah. Which, you know, good for him.
I appreciate that he's been in two totally separate Ninja Turtles series playing totally different Ninja Turtles.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Such is the power of Rob Paulsen. Anyway, he also wrote for whatever the Cramp Twins is.
I'd say he has range, but he literally does not have range. It's not really what he's there for.
I mean, he does a bunch of different characters, but you can kind of tell that they're all Rob Paulsen.
Yeah. Anyway.
But notably, he worked for The Tick in the 90s and wrote one of my all-time favorite episodes of that show.
Speak?
Which one?
The one where it's like cops, but with superheroes.
Oh yeah. That was a weird one.
That was a good one.
Because that's the episode with the deadly bulb.
Yes.
Hey, buddy, what happened to you? Did you step in a pig?
I'm still pretty fond of the evil midnight bomber, what bombs at midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the sidekick shed that they have to stay.
Speaking of Rob Paulsen.
Yes, speaking of Rob Paulsen. Was he Rob Paulsen at that point, or was he guy from the Monkees?
No, I think the Evil Midnight Bomber at Midnight was Rob Paulsen, wasn't he?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
But then, yes, later Arthur was also
Rob
Arthur.
Hi, Arthur.
Yes, after he was one of the Monkees.
Mickey Dolenz.
Right. And then I guess the Monkees went on tour.
Who I think is the only one who's still alive.
I think he is. Yeah, we're down to a single monkey.
I looked that up for someone at work the other night. I forget why we were talking about the Monkees.
I missed a monkey dying.
But we were talking about...
I knew we were down two. I didn't realize we were down three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the last man standing. The last monkey standing.
He's the winner of the Monkey Tontine.
Yes.
He gets the whiteout fortune that Peter Tork inherited from his mother.
Yes.
Actually, maybe it was Mickey Dolenz. One of the monkeys' mothers invented whiteout. I can't remember which one it was.
Oh, that's a good question for Wikipedia.
Was it Tork? Anyway. Sure it was. I don't know.
Anyway, I feel like I would be curious to find out how much Hasbro meddling was involved in this first season.
I mean, I think the
somebody's
whole
meddling.
Bumblebee can't talk thing is definitely a Hasbro mandate because that was the whole deal in
the movies.
The Bumblebee movie.
Well, specifically in the Bumblebee movie.
Which is a cute movie. It's very charming.
But the thing is they can use licensed music and clips from things as opposed to just your non-union actor doing a bunch of kind of okay voices from nothing in particular.
Yeah, it's a gimmick that works fine in a movie, but having a running character do that is...
When you have money and you can license this.
Problem number one of the show.
Or even if you had a guy, some sort of man of a thousand voices kind of thing. Like a Paulsen or a Maurice LaMarche.
Yes.
Who's doing, impressions.
Oh, that would have been really good to have Maurice LaMarche, but no, they did not have the budget for Maurice LaMarche anymore.
Instead, you've just got this guy who's like, he's just doing a bunch of bad impressions without moving his mouth.
And there's, like, some radio crackle to just give you an idea.
Yes.
Are they really impressions that much? None of them really feel like impressions of anything.
I mean, just, like, generic, like, it's a cowboy, it's a radio ad kind of impression. It's not, like, specific people.
Despite, I will say that I do like the Bumblebee movie in spite of this, but I would just like to, I swear to God, if at the end of Transformers 1, Bumblebee loses his voice, I'm going to get up and leave the theater. I'm done with it. I never
Well, I mean, you probably should. That'll be the end of the movie.
Get rid of it.
That's what they want you to do.
I never... Just let's never revisit that. Let's just never revisit it. It's stupid. It's stupid. It was never a good idea. It wasn't a good idea in the first movie. The first movie was also in general.
I will say it was a fine idea for the first live action movie. It just shouldn't have been, oh, he's doing this with the radio because his voice box is broken. It just should have been a gimmick to, I'm still a car, but I'm fucking around with you. By using radio clips.
Right, like he does that when he's in car mode.
Yes.
But when he's a robot, he just talks like a robot.
Yeah. Did we lose Jen?
I think we may have lost Jen.
We did. Shit.
We did assume that was a cat incident of some sort.
Okay, there we go. And I'm just going to have to make sure that all gets squished back together.
Okay.
So yes, I'm done with stories in which Bumblebee has lost his voice. No more. Leave it in the past.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, do we do that? Is that how the movie ends? Or do we save it for a sequel because we still want to get...
Keegan-Michael Key.
Keegan-Michael Key in there.
So yeah, I would have heard...
We'll do it in a sequel if they're going to do it.
I have heard that before he got his ass canceled, that Bumblebee was supposed to be Justin Roiland doing his Morty voice.
Oh, God.
I feel like if that is true, then all apologies to his victims, but it is for the best that we not have to endure that.
Thankfully, he got canceled, because, wow, that would have been the worst.
The movie just pulled a Keanu Reeves in The Matrix.
Yes.
Dodging that bullet.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I'm somebody who enjoys Rick and Morty. I don't make it my life's philosophy, but once a week, when it's on, I'm like, hey, this is funny for half an hour.
Yeah.
But 2 hours of that? My God.
Yeah, that would not be... No, just no. No, no, no. That would be... At that point, I would probably welcome him losing his voice. But I do not know.
Or even worse, he gets it damaged and then just becomes the Rick voice.
No. No.
And he's doing the, like, slurring and burping because his voice box is damaged?
Burping robots, no.
So yeah, this Cyberverse unfortunately does win a point taken off up front from me for going with the Bumblebee losing his voice thing.
Yeah.
Which, again, like I said, especially because the writers, for the most part, seem to be competent in other projects. So I would assume I'm just going to blame all of the things like that I don't like on corporate interference.
It's just a thing that, like, is hard to write for anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they had enough trouble with it in Prime when he was just doing the beeping, but now they've got to, like, come up with bits, and it's not so great.
And, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's the thing... Like, it's the Rekgar thing. Like, if you have an episode of this guy just saying TV quotes, yeah, that's fine for an episode. Making an entire series out of it. No.
Yeah, the thing about Rekgar is he is a side character who only shows up occasionally.
Yeah, and also he's
so that's okay.
Like, he's not doing voices for every line, he's just saying out TV lines.
When maybe it's one of the main cast. Maybe in, like, a different tone of
voice, like Newscaster or something, but it's...
Yeah.
It's a bad idea, and we're gonna have an entire series of this, oh no.
I don't think it carries over for the end. I think it becomes a
spoiler,
somewhat more conventional Transformer series later.
Oh, he fixes him. Good.
Spoiler, he has fixed all of this about him, except for the fact that he's still as dumb as a bag of rocks.
I'm fine with the
everything
dumb
else.
Part, in theory.
Everything else is fixed at the end of season one. So we get through to the end of season one. He will be able to talk again. He will have his memory back. He will still be a himbo, but that's okay, because then also Hot Rod and Cheetor show up and you have an entire Autobot himbo squad.
I'm not sure I can handle three of them at once, but okay.
Yeah, it's a lot. We're getting to aerial bot levels of mischief here. It's not ideal. They needed to add Hotshot in there. Hotshot needed to show up. It's all of them. Dumb as a bag of rocks.
Alright, so, you know, our episode opens. Bumblebee is indeed driving through the endless wastelands.
Yeah, it really just looks straight up like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yeah. Well, there were bits of Prime that looked like this, sort of, but like it was okay, but yeah, it is very Roadrunner, especially like he drives to, falls to his death. He pulls a Wile E. Coyote.
Yes,
that's the beginning of the episode.
And yeah, there is a straight up like Wile E. Coyote chasm in the middle of this. That I think if you fall down this, you are legally required to hold up a little sign that says "Yikes."
I was going to say,
or
you
say
were,
Yahoo-y.
Yeah, you were legally required to make a Wilhelm scream.
Or possibly a goofy holler.
Yes, yeah. Or a goofy holler. One of the two.
Or
a Howie scream.
Oh, or the, of course, the Howie Long scream. The one that's all, yeah!
Which, that wasn't actually Howie Long. That was, well, it was his character dying that way. It wasn't
yeah, but no,
voice.
It's from, like, the 70s. And obviously, okay. I don't think Howie Long's or anybody's lungs can produce that. But it's used most famously with the death of former NFL star turned occasional actor Howie Long in the John Travolta, Christian Slater, John Woo masterpiece, Broken Arrow. I believe somebody is getting a call on a landline.
Yes, sorry.
What is this? Phone. I'm sorry, is this my house with the ancient technology?
No, it's mine, and I don't know what the fuck it is.
Am I unstuck in time? Is it the year 1996?
I don't even have a landline.
David, I have bad news. I think you're about to be murdered by Ghostface. just make sure, if he asks if you like scary movies, just hang up.
Yeah.
Isn't that... Wait, what is the first...
Don't engage. It's
like
spammers.
Yes or no in the movie? I thought they hung up. I can't remember. I haven't seen Scream in forever.
Well, I mean, she hangs up, but she keeps calling. And then he's got the... He's cast a quizzer. Who's the killer in Friday the 13th?
Well, yeah, that's easy. It's Jason's mom.
Ah, see, she says Jason.
Well, yeah, I know. Because people remember the sequels, not the original.
Well, good news, David. Your boyfriend hasn't been stabbed.
By
Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ul. Ew. Just his name is scuzzy.
Well, it's either him or it's that guy who plays Shaggy.
Well, Freddie Prinze. No, that was
no.
Freddie Prinze was Freddie. It's Fred.
Oh, what's his name? Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard. Yes.
Who has gone on to voice Shaggy in a few things.
That's cool.
Very much. That's
he went full method.
That's his gig now. It's possible he just now lives in a van with a Great Dane.
Great Dane.
Oh, I hope he actually has a Great Dane. That would be cute.
That would be amazing.
Anyway, so Bumblebee is just driving along, almost drives into this bottomless chasm. And, you know, he is almost makes it to the other side, but he's distracted by the giant disembodied head of Windblade, who's a main character on the show.
Yes.
Which I think briefly fooled people into thinking this was a Robots in Disguise follow-up, which it was not.
As it turned out, it was not. Nope. She is the mom friend.
Yeah. Philip almost plummets to his death. She does rescue him, and then he has no idea who she is or why he's here, which is something she wants to know as well.
Yes. She is here to be the Alexis of this show.
But not the...
From Armada, who is the, like, one useful, competent character, who was also the girl.
Speaking of Scooby-Doo, why in my notes do I have, Rut-Row, Bumblebee, where are you? Does Windblade ask him where he is?
She asks who he is. She asks a lot of those questions, because he does not know.
No.
Oh yeah, and then my next note is Windblade Mommy. Sorry, yes. I watched this like a week ago.
So now we get the exposition.
Oh, lore dump.
So yeah. Much like in the live-action movies, the Allspark has been blasted off Cybertron, and the Optimus Prime took the Autobots in the Ark to go look for it, but she stayed behind to keep fighting Decepticons. But then the Decepticons did indeed figure out that it was on Earth, so then they left Cybertron, so then eventually Windblade just decided that she was just going to take the space bridge there, which she did, but then it blew up behind her, so now she's just stuck on Earth, and she can't find anything, and all she can find is Bumblebee, who knows precisely Dick.
Just less than nothing. He's just... Yeah, it's bad.
He's got amnesia. Oh, goody. That old trope.
So I will say, to credit the movies, that as far as concepts that I don't mind so much, I do not mind so much spinning the creation matrix off into its own thing, separate from the matrix of leadership, and having the Allspark be what it is, even though it's a D20 here. Why is it a D20? Who knows?
Did we see it in this episode?
Maybe not in this one.
I mean, it's true.
I think we see it in the opening credits.
Yeah, it's platonic solid. It just wants to be friends.
I kind of prefer it being a D20 to being just a cube.
I kind of like a simplicity. It's sort of like the animated Matrix, which kind of looked like the Matrix, kind of like the movie Allspark, and also kind of like a Big Mac box.
Yeah.
It did look like a Big Mac box.
Yeah, the animated one might be my favorite design.
But yeah, no, this is just a polyhedron of some sort.
I do kind of wonder if it's a 20-sided one intentionally, since that's a big Dungeons & Dragons thing.
I kind of just liked it being a cube because cube is fun to say.
The cube!
Where's the cube?
I guess, yeah, shouting, where is the dodecahedron?
Exactly. Hit
as well.
Yeah, I don't care for it being a cube specifically. I just don't mind it being the creation matrix as originated in the comics versus the creation matrix, or the matrix of leadership as the variant from the cartoon.
But meanwhile, during this lore dump, Bumblebee's just doing donuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And playing some radio thing about recipes for donuts. And when Blade specifically tells him to stop doing donuts.
Well, thankfully, they're then attacked by Thundercracker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before things get any stupider, they get attacked by Thundercracker.
Oh, yeah, and like, Bumblebee's, like, because he doesn't really realize who that is like, you brought a friend, are they staying for dinner? Like, most of the jokes that Bumblebee is giving us are, like, really old, dead jokes from Looney Tunes from the 50s kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels, like, so incongruous with, presumably, what the target audience would be. I mean, I know Looney Tunes gags always flew over the heads of most kids anyway, but this is gags from back then flying over the heads of great-great-grandchildren of the kids they flew over originally.
I mean, I guess if the idea is that he's limited to things that he has already recorded. God, can you imagine if he was just trying to converse using, like, a YouTuber library and it was just I don't know, being unhinged about everything 24/7 because everyone on YouTube has to have extremely strong feelings about everything.
So let us reboot Cyberverse and Bumblebee's talking about Skibbity Toilet.
No.
I know. I hate it.
That or he's a Nazi.
Yes. Or both. Or both.
When are we going to get a Transformer VTuber?
You know, people who don't have kids always act surprised when I mention, like, how many video game YouTubers are actually just low-key white supremacists.
Meanwhile, this is a weird digression, but yes, it's like people who are trying to get attention and are asshole Nazis found a niche that was getting attention and tried to fill it, as Nazis often do. The old rule of, if you let one Nazi into your bar, you're going to have a bar for Nazis.
Meanwhile, my sister, who does have children of that age group, has asked me previously for, like, recommendations for Minecraft players who aren't Nazis, because she's actually
VTubers
there seeing that, yes, this is a real thing and it's a problem, whereas if you don't have kids,
VTubers.
It's not...
There probably are Nazi VTubers, but they're going to be niche and indie. Go for a bigger VTuber.
I don't know. I don't know if her sons are ready for VTubers. That's a bit much.
So you got to start them on anime girls young. Anyway, where are we in the goddamn episode? Wow.
No.
Strange digressions. I guess this is going to be the series of strange digressions, because what else is there to talk about?
I don't know that my nephews have any particular feelings about Cyberverse, but I do know that they liked the Netflix shows, and therefore I'm not entirely certain we're actually related.
We cannot trust their taste. Oh, wait, was this the Cyberverse before? It's after the Netflix stuff. Or before?
I think it was concurrent.
Yeah, right around the same time, okay. When notably they're also hiring non-union voice actors, although does this also have that... Like,
I think
epic trailer
overlap.
Guy as Optimus Prime?
I think so. I
oh
think
dear.
It's the same.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think there is actually over... Because that's the thing, is that this was supposed to be the younger audience show, while those other... The War for Cybertron ones were supposed to be the older audience show. So they were, like...
Titans Return and Power of the Primes was in the same year. Oh.
Oh no, those are the Machinima ones.
Oh, well, see.
Oh, the funnier ones!
Yeah, those ones were at least hilariously incompetent. This is. Those Netflix shows are just, I would say, product.
Yeah.
Their content.
They're pretty dire. I'm sure I mentioned at the time that Brian Kilby had a few of us get together to do a little, like, podcaster roundtable thing to discuss the last one of them. But then he invited Ben Yi, so we couldn't be too mean. Because you can't just be relentlessly negative with Ben Yi there. It's too
That's
much
true.
Nice energy. The bit where the Ark transformed was really good.
So, you know, there's a fight with Thundercracker. It's an okay fight. Like I said, the animation is sort of dynamic here. Well directed, but
yeah, they don't have a lot of assets, but they do a lot with what they have.
Also, Thundercracker gets like nothing. He has lines here, but it's mostly grunting.
Yeah, well, he's a seeker. It be
I
like
guess.
That sometimes. It's seeker life.
I guess it's fine. Although, like, he forgets he can fly, and he gets pushed off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that we could mention what else these actors have been in, but
go ahead, try.
Yeah, not so much.
The guy playing Thundercracker has literally two voice credits.
Yeah.
It's this and whatever 2050 is. Some sort of science fiction movie.
My Transformers fan fiction from 1993?
It's not something else 2050, it's just 2050?
Yeah, like I said, they...
Oh,
some of
I
these
thought...
guys are okay, some of them they may have picked up at the Port Authority bus stop.
I thought we were at least getting Frank Todaro here, but no.
No, we're not. We are not even getting Frank Todaro.
I guess maybe he was union by this point. Maybe he had picked up his union card by this point, so they couldn't afford him anymore.
I mean, you're getting a couple of Four Kids people in this.
Oof, man.
Unless you're getting the guy that did Yu-Gi-Oh! That is, well, okay, it's hard to fault some of those voice actors for the shit they did, but
still. Sadly, no, we are not, we do not even get Dan Green.
Yeah, yes, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Guy. Dan Green is very good.
It's time to duel!
So yeah, I am noticing, looking at the list of voice cast on the TF Wiki page, Jeremy Levy, who's Bumblebee, is also like, there's a lot of multiple roles going around here. He's like half the Autobots.
Yeah, for like most of the characters I clicked on, either they were like two or three characters or like a dozen.
Yeah.
Which, we're used to Scott McNeil, so it's not that odd, but that multiple characters seem to end up doing that is a little odd.
Yes. I guess.
I mean, I guess we also got that in Rescue Bots, but, like, that was four seasons.
Xavier Paul, who we'll get to eventually, or Xavier Paul Cadeau, is the Steve Bloom we have at home, who we'll get to eventually with Dead End, just doing an extremely Spike Spiegel voice.
Oh. I guess that's good for Dead End.
Anyway, so they, you know, they knock him off this cliff, and so Windblade pulls out a cortical psychic patch to try and read his mind.
Hey, that's come back.
Yes, that is from Prime.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, time for Nemo surgery. It's my favorite.
I mean, of all the things to bring back, sure, I guess that's a gimmick that works for cartoons. How to see inside someone's head.
I'm always on board with screwing around with people's heads.
So she does the my mind to yours thing, and she ends up in Bumblebee's, I guess, the cyberverse of his mind. Which is like, I guess, kind of honeycomb themed. Apparently cyberverse was just like, we couldn't think of a name for the show. And Hasbro owned this one from some toys they did, so sure.
Now I'm trying to remember if it occurred to me the first time I watched this that it was honeycomb themed because he's Bumblebee.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I think
it
he
did.
Has the same thing in B movie.
It's a B movie.
And just like basically his mind palace is empty except for some staticky screens.
I mean, Bumblebee movie has Steinfeld. B movie has Seinfeld.
Oh.
What's the deal with that?
They're so similar.
I mean, they're both about a yellow non-human creature who has a vaguely romantic association with a human. True. And there's a notable size difference between the two.
There is.
Yes.
Maybe they are the same movie.
Uh-oh.
There's less lawyering in Bumblebee.
Oh, we lost Rob.
Oops. Oh, dear. Shoot. God damn it.
And we lost Rob. God damn it. This is tonight cursed?
It's cursed. We are cursed tonight. Sorry. It's my fault, I'm sure.
I haven't disconnected, but it sounds like you guys have, like, audio has cut out a couple times on me.
Because I went into the woods and, I don't know. Maybe I pissed off some evil spirits in the woods.
Ugh.
Hey, Rob.
Sorry about that. Yes,
it's fine. Tonight is cursed. And probably because I brought up Campfire S'mores flavored ramen pre-recording.
Oh, God. Somehow I knocked my mouse off the table. It fell off and it somehow clicked on the X of my browser window.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive.
Well, you do it in browser, not app? Oh.
Yeah. This is on a laptop. What am I... Is there an app for this? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Desktop,
I have it
Discord,
in an app.
Yes.
And I'm on Mac.
Yeah, no, that's how I've always done it.
I guess it works. It's fine. It just...
Anyway, my recording didn't drop off, so hopefully I'm still... You just got a couple seconds of me cursing.
I'm just playing with my laser cycle, who, like a ninja in the night, strikes swiftly and unseen. It's jazz. I'm just declaring it's jazz. They just didn't want to have two jazzes in the same subseries, in the same capsule.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of jazz. I don't think I came up with a name for mine. He's just hanging around on my desk. But I got a new Alpha Trion from One! And he's...
I haven't found the One toys here yet.
I have found them...
Somehow I have, which is weird.
I have resisted buying them so far, but we will see how long that lasts.
I guess we'll see how it goes when the movie comes out.
Yeah, it's the thing. I don't want to buy that many. Well, maybe when they get the studio series. I also saw... the auto flipper ones. Was at least Sentinel Prime today, and Optimus Prime might get the studio series when that one comes out.
I was tempted to get the studio series Optimus, but why is he so like sepia? His colors are off.
That's fine.
Or I don't know, maybe they're correct, but he looks pre-yellowed. I'm holding out for Orion Pax because I have to have him in the twink flavor.
They're in the cyberverse of his mind, and then there's a energy thing, and they just both collapse, and here come the Decepticons, now Thundercracker, and now Nova Storm, who is a lady.
Yes! She ends up carrying over into Earthspark.
Yes.
Yeah. Has she even gotten any toys? Because I really like the colors. Oh, no, I was thinking there was...
Not in Cyberverse, no.
I was thinking of somebody from some...
No, it looks like no Nova Storms have ever...
Oh, right, Nova... The one in Earthspark is the cooler color scheme. I like that one. That's what I was thinking of. It just confused me here. I thought it was Skywarp that was just a girl now. But it's Nova Storm, because she doesn't get named in the episode.
Yes.
And I didn't bother reading the credits.
She is purple and also some more purple.
And that's where the episode ends, because these episodes are only 10 minutes long.
Yeah, they're very short.
This was sort of the... this was kind of a trend in cartoons at the time, what's it called? That Steven Universe. That's 10-minute episodes. And then is it the same with Adventure Time?
I've watched it, but I don't remember.
The thing is, the big difference, I would say, is that this, and I mean, Cyberverse continues throughout its entire run to be a lot more serial and a lot less episodic.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Universe definitely got more serial, but it was, you know, could be a lot more episodic at times.
It was building up lore, as it were.
Well, these episodes don't feel as much like they have a proper beginning and end so much as they have, like, a cut to commercial is the end of the episode.
They're more like those 30s movie serials.
Yeah, whereas with Adventure Time and Steven Universe, the episodes actually were like a self-contained story.
Yeah.
Where with Cyberverse, it does tend to be a lot more, like I said, it feels more like an act.
I watched a couple episodes, and I figured out by the third one that these feel like DVD extras more than episodes, or at least... Like with the lore dump, and then it's like, oh, there's a little bit of action, lots of lore talking.
I mean, it does feel...
Load up the next one.
I mean, it does feel like they're trying to push things out for shorter little kid attention spans.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's like, what is the target audience for this? Who is this for, is my question.
Kids?
Yeah, I guess.
But, like, what age? Like
it, I don't know, man. I
would have thought this was aimed for an higher age range than Rescue Bots, but after watching it, it feels like it's aimed for a lower age range.
I don't know, man. I just learned this week that G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, was supposed to be for 12 and up, and I was watching it when I was 7.
Well, that would explain that episode with the synthoids.
Yeah, that was really messed up. I'm still not okay about There's No Place Like Springfield. Still never going to be okay. I mean, admittedly, I was pretty precocious, so I'm sure it's fine. But, yeah. Just watching stuff for teenagers. Yeah, this feels like I would almost say... So, David, you have been at least... received your initial inoculation of BotBots episodes.
Yes.
Would you say that BotBots is skewing a little older than this?
Yes! Well, like I just said, like, Rescue Bots felt like it was skewing a little older than this. It's weird.
I mean, specifically just the way that it's that very sort of, like, attention-grabbing...
Yeah.
Direction choices and the attention span, like, and it went to YouTube almost pretty much immediately.
Yes.
It just feels a lot more like it's meant for kids to watch on their iPad in the back of the van.
Yeah, whereas BotBots, like, it's Rescue Bots level, it's like it's aimed at little kids, but like how it's told isn't like you're aiming it at little kids. It's told decently well.
BotBots also has 2 episodes in the half-hour slot, and they actually have, like, a self-contained story in each episode while still maintaining some continuity throughout the series. BotBots is so good.
It is. I did want to watch more. We should have, but didn't have time.
But yeah, I don't want to be... complaining about kids these days. I will reserve my complaining about kids these days for valuing digital quote property over actual physical items. But it does feel very much like, almost cynically, like we have to make this appeal to small children. What do small children want to watch? They want to watch really short, really energetic, really eye-catching stuff.
And Bumblebee doing silly voices.
Yes, and Bumblebee being funny and useless, and God, he's so useless. This whole season, he's so useless. He continues to be useless, but then other characters show up who are less useless, and not just Windblade.
Like, and who knows how many episodes we're going to do in future podcast episodes. Maybe 2 at once since they're shorter. Maybe just 1, depending. Like this episode, although this was introduction. But, like, when we were going to watch Rescue Bots originally, because I'd only seen the musical episode, and I hated that episode. So I was afraid. My initial idea was, like, okay, between, like, was it, yeah, that was before Robots Disguise, whatever.
Yes. Anyway,
I thought, okay, we'll watch 1 season of Rescue Bots, then we'll go back to normal Transformers cartoons for actual Transformers fans.
For adults.
Well, not adults, but like older teenagers.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with the goddamn thing. This, I thought, oh, Cyberverse, that's a normal Transformers show again. Go back into it. And it's the complete opposite. It's like, we have to watch an entire season of this. We have to watch multiple seasons of this show. I'm not sure I'm going to make it, because I hate, like, is I too said. Strong a word, but this is very much a show. If I wasn't watching this for the podcast, I You'd would stop like, here.
No.
I'm done.
Well, I do hear it's, the Rescue Bots, I mean, Academy, like I is said. Better.
It does change pretty substantially in the second season, and I think that's because...
I do know that, like, it gets more writers and story and characters.
They knew that this could not sustain, like, another season of this kind of nonsense, so they do, like I said, they fix Bumblebee, plots.
I just thought of a comparison, theoretically, because I think I watched an episode like the second season, and it had more going on than this. Like, I'm comparing this mentally now to WMAC Masters.
Don't know what that is.
I don't know about that.
You don't know what the fuck? World Martial Arts Championship.
Okay.
Which was sort of a fake wrestling style thing with mixed martial arts. But it was actor. Well, it was martial artists being actors And, like, the first season is basic, like, guys fighting things, tournament to get a dragon star. Real basic. And then the second season, they figured out, oh, wait, we should have, like, a heel in this thing. We need villainous characters. We need a story. So the second season is actually better and crazier.
Yeah.
Like, they learned, and then it got canceled after the second season.
There is one thing that happens in the third season that made me extremely angry, and we will discuss that when we get to the third season.
I know bits about it, and I could possibly guess something, but I probably won't guess the correct thing.
You're welcome to message me about it, but it's a pretty big spoiler, and it's very upsetting to me, specifically, personally. But, yeah, we'll get there. No, it's not that. No, it's not that either. It's an event. It's not like, not an event.
Not a character.
Event. It is, it's an action that a character takes.
Oh.
So, yeah, we'll get there. I know people who have seen it already and are familiar with me will be like, yeah, that was pretty messed up that they did that.
Although one thing I do have to look forward to, this is the first time we get to see McAdams on screen.
It's true.
Yes, and I will have a lot to say about that once we get there.
Do we see McAdams in the old comics?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in the one issue that he was in.
Yeah.
All right. I knew we saw his bar. I just thought we saw a bartender, not McAdams, in the comics.
I'm pretty sure that's him, but I could be wrong. I will have to go back and reread that story before we get to that, because it's, I mean, literally just, like, one story.
The one with the piano?
Yes. I will have to give that ground on the UK.
Hmm. Okay, but yeah, I guess we're done for the week. We could wrap up and store our voices.
Yeah, are we taking a trip to Prismos this week?
No, I am. I'm still letting my voice recover from COVID.
We will hold off until next time.
Yeah, rest her voice for a little bit more. Next time, eventually. Well, the COVID is
a time in the future.
COVID has now turned into basic cold,
probably a sinus infection. But yeah, my voice is not up to it this week. But soon we will. I will get back to that soon.
Soon, yes. TM.
Yes.
All right, but until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
And Discord, and are we on, like, Spotify and other podcasts?
Yeah, we're on everywhere you get to your finer podcasts.
Should probably be on all the podcast apps. Yeah, I had to, like, clean up a bunch of stuff to get us on Apple Podcasts properly, which I was able to do when I bought a Mac. Through the magic of owning a Mac.
Oh, did we actually say the name of this episode? It was Fractured.
Yeah, Fractured.
Feels like a bad title for a first episode.
Yeah, it's not a
It sort of fits Bumblebee's psyche, I guess, but it's just a weird title for a first episode.
So, did everyone notice that all of the episode titles have a little, like, emoji?
Yes.
In them.
What?
On YouTube, they all have a little emoji in the title.
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, one, why isn't it on the wiki? And two, oh, no.
Well, I mean, they
that
presumably...
That is a good question.
I mean, they're not... They didn't have them when they were on, like, TV, the emoji.
Oh, okay. And it's just not, something they added.
But yeah, it's something they added. But yeah, it's a little disc for this one.
But yes, if you go to iaconunderground.net, where we are hosted, there is a link there to our Discord. I've been messing around a little bit with seeing if I can update the site a little bit without completely destroying everything, because left to my own devices, I would move everything to NeoCities and make everything in CSS and RSS feeds and nothing else, but I am not going to do that. So yes, iaconunderground.net, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. for the month of last month, which was July, again, still got COVID brain a little bit. That's my first time. Do not recommend.
Yeah, no.
We watched... We need to watch something that we like sometime soon, because we watched an episode of the, was it 2015? The mid-2010s.
Yeah, mid-2010s. Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man with Deadpool in it.
Well, that it's Spider-Man cartoon. It should have been good, but wow, that episode was not.
You know what it needed to be, and I realize I didn't think of how I wanted to phrase this until like after we had recorded. But what it needed to be was Deadpool A, realizing that he is in a kid's show, and B, understanding that he has no place being in a kid's show. Then, you know, constantly making jokes about the censors and Peter being confused. But what we actually get is more like the mask energy, like smoking. It's got Will Friedle in it, though, to everyone's chagrin.
Listen, I'm willing to say that an episode of the mask cartoon would be more tolerable.
Yeah, probably would be.
Speaking of Rob Paulsen.
It is available now. It is widely available in, I don't know, like, places where you... It's probably on Tubi.
Everything's
so many
on Tubi.
Things are on Tubi. So many things. It is on MeTV Toons, though, where you can also watch the beautifully remastered GoBots. Yes, that is for as little as a dollar a month. You can hear our monthly Patreon specials. Did we pick something out for August
yet?
Now that we're kind of getting our business back together for August, by which I mean I am no longer coughing up my lungs.
We've made our decision for September, but we do not yet have one for August.
I don't know.
We'll think of something. We'll think of something good. Chappie. No. Watch Short Circuit 2.
There's been a couple of idea thingies I've thrown in there.
It would have been such a good movie if they had actually gotten an Indian actor and had any, like, cultural sensitivity at all.
I could just point out a bunch of Toronto landmarks.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it before I go to Toronto again.
R.I.P. the world's biggest bookstore.
That's sad. That was... I liked that bookstore. That was absolutely like me walking by a bookstore like that. Like, oh my god, I gotta go in.
I was in that bookstore many times, but unfortunately it is now condos.
Oh, that's actually... That's sad.
I mean, it was a bad area anyway. I mean, you know, you couldn't go out on the mean streets of Toronto without knowing that if today would be the day that Los Locos... kicked your ass, face, and or balls into outer space.
See, Chappie was basically like an entire movie that's just the part where Los Locos talk Johnny Five into stealing the car stereos. It's like that part, but an entire movie. That's Chappie.
Also, I think I would definitely rather listen to that weird Los Locos rhyming chant than the music of Die Antwoord.
So anyway, iconunderground.net, you can find a link to our Discord, you can find a link to our Patreon, you can find a link to our various social media places where we post new episode announcements.
All right, so join us next time when we explore our memory and possibly also the AllSpark.
It's a D20.
Until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I wish I could forget this episode. I'm Dave.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to stop it.